Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Robert Hale, Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller at the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us today from IBM is John Bongelis. Bob, with the National Defense Authorization Act of 2010, Congress established a deadline for DOD to achieve audit readiness by the end of fiscal year 17. Would you elaborate on DOD's financial improvement audit readiness strategy, its incremental wave approach? How does this strategy set the course for improving accuracy, reliability, and timeliness of information?
Well, I'd be glad to. Let me start by saying I believe the Department of Defense has reasonable controls over its budgets. There are some of our critics who assert the contrary. I think they're wrong. As evidence of that, I'd just note quickly that we have 3,000 auditors who are watching our program and financial moves, and yet we have quite high levels of compliance with key financial legislation, quite high levels of proper payments. But we do need to achieve auditable financial statements for a variety of reasons. They'll help us clean up some imperfections that we may talk about more in our business processes. But most importantly, they'll reassure the public that we're reasonable stewards of their money. And if I can, I'll tell you a quick story. I was early in my tenure with the Air Force, and I was talking to my wife about auditable financial statements, which we didn't have, and the Air Force still doesn't, trying to explain it to her. She's not an accountant, so she asked me what they were, and I explained it. And I started talking, and she stopped me, and she said, "Well, Bob, if you don't have auditable financial statements, how do you know they're not stealing from you?" And I started to explain that financial statements or audits aren't designed to detect fraud, really. And then I just stopped and realized we'll never convince the public we're good stewards of their funds without doing it. So it's important to do it. And in terms, when I came into this job, there had been progress made, no question. But I think I quickly realized the department wasn't heading in a single direction. Services were doing different things. Some were doing more, some less. No common purpose. We were sometimes trying to do things where there wasn't much management commitment to doing it. So we formulated, I call it a focused approach. It basically pretty simple. It says, let's put our highest priorities on improving information and achieving audit readiness for the kinds of information we most use to manage the Pentagon. And that's first and foremost budgetary information, because we manage the department based on budgets. And second, where our assets are and how many we have, which is very important to warfighters. Auditors call it existence and completeness. So we have focused our attention on trying to improve information in for those categories and move toward audit readiness, and at the same time formulated a cost-effective approach for the rest of the audit. But the wave approach, the early waves, are this focus on budgetary and asset count and condition information.
Actually, we'd like to explore that even more. What are the benefits of focusing on these initial areas, and how critical are they to achieving audible financial statements?
Well, they're absolutely critical to achieving. You can't do it without it. Now, there are other things you'd have to do as well to have full auditability, but they are absolutely critical. I think the main, well, the two main benefits. First, it holds down the cost because you're focusing your efforts. And frankly, there's just so much that the department can do both financially and otherwise while we're fighting a shooting war and getting out, finishing the mission in Iraq. There's a lot of other things going on. So it focuses our efforts and sets priorities in a way that's healthy. Also, I think it has brought the department together in the sense that everybody accepts that we need budgetary information, including our military and most senior civilian leaders. So I think there's more support for this focused approach than there was some of the others that we have pursued in the past. So I think it is the right way to approach the problem. It's not a panacea. There's still a lot of hard work to go, but I think it's the right focus.
Bob, thank you. If I understand correctly, DOD obligates an average of $2 to $3 billion with a B dollars every business day and handles hundreds of thousands of payment transactions. Given this scale of operations, what are some of the major challenges and obstacles facing DOD in its efforts to improve financial information and audit readiness?
Well, John, you stated one of them in the question, which is our size and our geographical dispersion. What they mean is that we can't go hire an army of accountants, or it would be such a large army that we could never afford it, and do all this work manually. And that brings me to two other major challenges or impediments, if you will, that we face. First, our systems, our financial systems, many of them are old. Some of them date back to the 70s and 80s, and they aren't designed to do what auditors expect. They're designed to keep track of budgets. They're not designed to accommodate audits. I'll just give you one fairly simple example. If an auditor wants to see for each entry in the financial statements, for each payment at least, they want to see an invoice, somebody billing you for it. They want to see a receiving report, which means you got the stuff, and they want to see a contract that matches the invoice in appropriate ways. We have that information, but it's not automatically available. So when an auditor pulls a sample of thousands of payments spread all around the world, we have to go chase down the paper, and it's a task that you can't do quickly, and it's very expensive. The new systems that we're putting in will keep this information in an automated fashion, so it works well. We'll push a button, and when an auditor asks for it, it will be there. So we need new financial systems. The other thing we need are to improve our business processes. Well, I think we have reasonable control. Our business processes are variable across our command, sometimes from base to base. They may be effective, but in some cases, they're simply not something an auditor would accept. I'll give you two examples, one pretty simple. In one of the audits we're carrying out right now, we discovered that people were not bothering to delete names from the access list for financial systems. And sometimes that hadn't been done for years, and the auditors were rightly concerned that this is an internal control failing. That was pretty easy to fix. Harder is we do what's called bulk obligations of military personnel dollars. We manage military personnel dollars centrally because we manage the military personnel centrally, so it makes sense to manage the dollars. But all we have are these bulk obligations. The auditors want to see more detail where we put it, and so we're going to have to change that business practice in order to move toward auditability. So there are some major challenges that we've got to overcome. We're on our way, but it's going to be a lengthy journey.
Oh, thank you. The next one's a somewhat several questions in one question, but I don't think there'll be an argument anywhere that if someone would make the statement that to achieve and sustain auditable financial statements, DOD must improve its financial systems. Could you please tell us about some of the systems modernization efforts that you're pursuing, and how does the deployment of various ERPs across the department enhance DOD's capability to consistently record accurately the asset acquisition costs at the transaction level?
Okay, well, as you suggested, we are installing these enterprise resource planning systems, as we call them, ERPs, in all three of the services, three of the four services. The Marine Corps does have a system that at the moment we are not planning to replace, perhaps eventually, but not anytime soon. And we are also installing an enterprise resource planning system in most of the defense agencies, which themselves are large organizations. Installing these systems is a challenge. Installing any IT system is a challenge. There are the technical challenges, which tend to be relatively easier to overcome, especially after you've done it a few times. You know the system works. It's a matter of making it work at that particular place. I think the hard task is always change management. You install a new ERP in a commander base, you are asking somebody who perhaps has spent 20 years doing financial management a certain way to do it in a different way, and there is inevitably frustration and retraining required. I had a chance to visit some of the sites that are installing some of these new ERPs, and you could see the frustration on the faces and hear it in the voices of the people who were being asked to change. We've got to ask them to do it, but it's not easy. And unfortunately, it's not something that you do at one base and you're finished and you can export it easily to the next base. You got all the same problems because a new set of people. So change management is a major challenge with these ERPs, but I believe we're making progress. Blue Navy is farthest ahead, and it's got probably half of the Navy is on their new Navy ERP. Maybe not quite that, but they're coming up to it. The Army is moving out smartly and hopes within a couple of years to have their new system deployed throughout the Army. The Air Force is getting started at one major base, but I think they'll pick up the pace. And we have several agencies, including one major defense agencies, on their new ERP. So we're making progress, but it will be a number of additional years and some sizable additional expenditures of funds before we finish.
Could you perhaps discuss or illustrate some of the highlights and some success stories given this effort for achieving audit readiness within the department?
Well, we have made some progress. The Army Corps of Engineers, which is actually not part of the DOD budget but still affiliated with the military, has fully auditable financial statements and is maintaining them, has for several years. Several of our large defense agencies have had auditable statements for sometimes more than a decade and have maintained them. The Defense Finance and Accounting Service, Defense Contract Audit Agency, Defense Commissary Agency, and some others. And some of our trust funds, we maintain some very large trust funds for military retirement and military health care, also have a positive audit opinions. What we haven't done yet is achieve that goal for any of the military services, and that is by far the highest hurdle to leap. They are much more complex. They're bigger than anything we have gone after yet. But we have, for the first time ever, a statement of a military service, in this case the United States Marine Corps, under audit, their statement of budgetary resources. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll see a positive opinion this year, more optimistic that we'll make it by next year. So we're moving into what I might call the big boy issues of auditability in terms of actually working on the military services. And we just have to go after them before we're ever going to get close.
So, Bob, an effort like this, facilitating improving information and audit readiness, will require a governance structure. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the governance structure you have to ensure the success of your efforts. How have you learned from history?
I can. I think one important thing is somebody needs to be accountable and responsible, and in that case, it's the department's chief management officer, the deputy secretary, currently Secretary Lynn, although the White House nominated Ash Carter to be the next deputy secretary and next chief management officer. So the CMO is in charge, but the deputy has a wide variety of responsibilities, and so much of the day-to-day senior oversight falls to me as the chief financial officer, and also to our deputy chief management officer, Beth McGrath, who particularly focuses on the system issues, and I focus on many of the accounting and other audit issues. And we have an analogous structure in the services where their CMO, the undersecretaries in each military department, has overall responsibility, and their assistant secretaries for financial management and their deputy chief management officers kind of do the day-to-day oversight. And that structure carries on. We do a senior oversight meeting once a quarter. We do meetings with one level down monthly. So we have a structure in place for oversight of this process.
If not mistaken, under the current audit rules, it seems that that meeting the 2017 date for audit readiness would have required the expenditure of large sums of dollars to acquire and improve information, especially valuation information, that arguably is rarely used by DOD managers. Would you kindly tell us more about your efforts to identify a feasible approach or set of valuation alternatives to achieving fully auditable statements that also conserve taxpayer dollars?
We recognize that this information is required for full auditability. We also recognize, as you suggested in the question, it is generally of low, sometimes very low value to department managers. And this is mostly assessing the historical costs of our weapons, our buildings, our large spare parts and support equipment. In a private company, that would be very important information because they would depreciate that and use the depreciation to offset taxes. But I don't pay taxes at the Department of Defense. And they also need it to assess book value. Their stockholders want to see it. I don't have any stock. I'm not planning to sell the Pentagon. So it is of much lower value, I think, than it would be in the private sector. Nonetheless, we need to do it. We've tried to find a cost-effective approach. And that cost-effective approach is to focus first on the high-value information, in particular that statement of budgetary resources, the budget information. That feeds a lot of the data. If we get that to be auditable, it'll be a big step in the right direction. To get the enterprise resource planning systems installed, including the ones in the logistics area, because they'll be critical to the valuation of the things that keep track, for example, of all the spare parts. And finally, and we won't try to do the valuation efforts until those two tasks are completed. And when we do try, we will do it only prospectively. That is, we won't go back to try to figure out the value of a building that's 20 years old. We will only look at new buildings. Now, that means we're going to have to accept qualifications on our statements for some number of years. But I think that it's appropriate in terms of cost effectiveness. And finally, There's one area, and it's maybe close to half of our assets, the valuation of our military equipment. I mean, the historical value of a B-2 bomber, for example, that is a particularly low value. We are considering asking for a change in the accounting rules that would allow us to, it's called expensing, sort of write off the value year to year so you wouldn't have to audit it beyond auditing the budget data. So we've got a long ways to go there, but I think we have a cost-effective approach to achieving historical cost valuation.
Bob, you've done a wonderful job of explaining a very complicated situation that you're dealing with in terms of an initiative. But how are you getting the message out beyond the financial community to other stakeholders that understand about the efforts you're engaging in?
Well, I think we've only begun to do that. We've certainly used the classic mechanisms, speeches by senior leaders. There are some magazines, especially one run by my former organization, the American Society of Military Comptrollers. We've used that. But the way the word will really get out is when we start to do audits in the field, there will be then a strong incentive for people to learn more about this and find out why they're doing it. And I think we'll get more attention at that point. Also, I mentioned briefly a course-based certification program that I hope we will put in place that will require certain kinds of training at various levels of jobs. Audit training and some basic accounting will certainly be part of that course-based requirements. So we'll use that framework to increase awareness. You know, there's one thing I didn't mention, and if I could just go back, because I think it's particularly important part of our focus strategy. We have set this goal for 2017 to achieve auditable statements. But let's face it, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I got to get to work and work real hard to meet a goal in 2017. I think one of the mistakes the department has made is setting these very long-term goals and without enough interim goals to cause people to have a near-term focus. So we have tried hard to establish goals for this fiscal year and the next fiscal year that are reasonably aggressive. For example, we have, as I mentioned, the Marine Corps' budget statement under audit. We're doing a number of validations of particular parts of the financial statements that we know we need to make work. And these are due next month or 2 or 3 months from now or maybe a year from now. So I think I hope that people do wake up in the morning and think, I better get to work and get that done or the comptroller guy is going to be on my case. I think establishing near-term goals will show progress. Probably relieve the anxiety in the Congress, and I think it will be an incentive to our own people to actually see something happening in this area.
What is DOD doing to improve its operations, become more efficient, and control costs? We will ask Robert Hale, Undersecretary of Defense and Comptroller at the U.S. Department of Defense, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.